10 MW Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
My soul was sinking in a world of sin. Grace and mercy, it took me in. Took my feet out of the miry clay. Placed it on a rock to stay. Oh, what a relief it was when God rescued me. He loosed the chain, had me bound. And he set me free. It felt like cooling water. It felt like cooling water. Feels just like cooling water. Cooling water from my well. Listen here. Sleepless night and so much pain. Don't see no sunshine. Nothing but rain. God said we will make and do for a night. In the morning, it will be all right. Oh, what a relief it was when God rescued me. He loosed the chain, had me bound, and he set me free. Felt like cooling water, feels just like cooling water, feels just like cooling water, cooling water from, can I say it one more time? Sleepless nights, so much pain. Lord, I couldn't get no sunshine, nothing but rain. We've been made into for a night. But in the morning, it will be all right. Oh, what a relief it was when God rescued me. Yeah, he loosed the chain, Lord, and had me bound, and he set me free. It felt like cooling water, felt just like cooling water. I was reminded of another water. Y'all, I was reminded of another water. As I went down in a muddy pond. Y'all, I went down in that pond. But y'all know what? I came, I said, praise God for the water. Came, I said, for the water. I don't know about you, but if you praise God for the water, for the water, help me say, say, for the water, for the water. If for the water, yes, it was, say, cooling water, cooling water, yeah, yeah, cooling water. Listen here. From Grandma's well. It was from cooling water. It was, y'all, cooling water. As I went down, y'all, in that muddy pond. As I went down, y'all, in that pond. Chill my body, not my soul. Chill my body, not my soul. Came out, said, praise God for the water. Praise God,
praise God
for the water.
For the water.
Say, praise God,
praise God
for the water.
For the water.
Praise God,
praise God
for the water.
For the water.
Say, for the water.
Praise God
for the water.
For the water.
Say, for the water.
For the water.
For the water,
for the water,
for the water,
for the water,
cooling water from
Grandma's well.
bless you, brothers. Let us all stand all over this place. Praise God for the water. Went to the water. Didn't go to stay. My soul got happy. Stayed all day. Oh, yes. Thank God for the waters. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people, a word that will remind us that you're God and God alone. We thank you, and we give you, we thank you, and we give you praise. We thank you, and we give you, we thank you, as we give you praise. We thank you, as we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Bless his name. If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. There is a word from the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 4 through 10. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. Verses 4 through 10. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Amen. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject, three deadly words. Three deadly words. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'd like to tell you a story about two children. One of them, when she was 6 years old, her grandmother became ill, and she was sent to live at her mother's home in Milwaukee, where she was made to sleep on the porch by the boarding house owner. Her years with her mother also exposed her to even more horrifying trauma. As she has recalled, at just 9 years old, she was raped by a 19-year-old cousin. As time went on, a family friend and an uncle would also abuse the vulnerable young girl. Unable to seek help or confide in anyone, she acted out by becoming rebellious, fighting with her mother, staying out all night, and being wild, as she put it. She described her behavior at the time as promiscuous, not understanding that she could set boundaries over her body. She was young, and she also didn't understand the consequences of being sexually active. As a result, she became pregnant at 14 years of age. Her mother's first reaction was to take her to a girls' detention home. She says that she remembered having thought for a moment that she's a bad girl, and she began to think, sitting there waiting to be processed into that girls' detention home, she thought that she really didn't belong there. As luck would have it, the home did not have room for her. So her exasperated mother sent her to live with her father instead. And it was there under her father's care that she began to get her head on right. She began to get her life in order, and she grew up to become the lady we all know as Oprah Winfrey. Amen. The next child endured physical abuse from his father. This young man, amen, had a father who would play mind games on him. He too was sexually abused as a child by family members. He describes his childhood as a living hell. He says that he felt like as a child he had died. To escape from it, he would use his imagination. He would go in his mind to this park that his mother and his aunt had taken him to. He said that he would be in this park running and playing, and it would be such a good day in his mind, even while bad things were happening to him. So every time somebody was doing something to him that was horrible, that was awful, he would go to this park in his mind until it was over. And it was that early learning to use his imagination that taught him how to write great plays and great productions. And now he's a billionaire that we all know as Tyler Perry. I tell you these stories, my brothers and sisters, because geologists tell us that only 3% of the Earth's fresh water is on the surface of the planet. The other 97% of the water on Earth remains a huge subterranean reservoir down beneath the Earth's surface. And I believe that the potentials of human personality are very much the same. Only 3% on the surface, 97% somewhere down below. How do we tap the infinite reservoir that is unseen? How do we bring to the surface the powers and possibilities the Creator has placed within each one of us? One thing we can do is rid our vocabularies of three deadly words. They were the words spoken by a young man long ago by the name of Jeremiah. God came to Jeremiah and said to him, "Sister Moore, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." But Lord, Jeremiah said, "I don't know how to speak." And then, y'all, he spoke three deadly words. Those three deadly words are this. He said, "I am only a youth." I am only. Three deadly words. In Jeremiah's case, he said, "I am only a youth." Jeremiah would become one of the greatest prophets that God called, but first of all, God had to deal with those three deadly words, "I am only." Many of us are limited by those words as well. If God came to some people in this room today, some would say, "But Lord, I'm only a senior citizen." Somebody would say, "I'm too old to be used, God, in your kingdom." There was a story in the Wall Street Journal about a man by the name of Harry Lipsick. Lipsick, at the age of 88, decided to leave the New York law firm that he had spent most of 60 years building up. He decided, amen, to open a new firm. So at an age when many people have given up on life, Mr. Lipsick decided to try his first case in some time. This was a situation. There was a lady that was suing the city of New York because a drunken police officer had struck and killed her 71-year-old husband with his car. And this woman argued that the city had deprived her of her husband's future earnings potential. The city defense lawyer said, "Well, look, the man was 71 years old. How much future potential earnings could he possibly have had?" Well, the city thought that it had a real clever defense against this woman until her lawyer walked in the room. This 88-year-old lawyer walked in the room and said, I don't know about 71 because I'm 88, and I would like to argue that he probably had a whole lot more future earning potential in his life. And y'all, the city of New York said, we'd like to settle this case out of court. And that woman won $1.25 million. What if Harry Lipsick had said, I'm only a senior citizen? I have come by on this Sunday morning to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that no matter what your life situation may look like, God is not through with you yet. You may be up in years, you may not have the education that somebody else has, but I've come by to remind you that we serve a God who specializes in taking nothing and making something out of it. Is there anybody in here this morning, when you look back over your life, you can recall folk who said you'd never be anything, you never amount to anything, you come from the wrong side of the tracks, but look at what God has done. Give him praise in this place today. Somebody else might answer, but Lord, I'm only a woman. You may have heard the story about three men walking down a beach who came across a lamp that was buried in the sand. The story goes on to say that they picked up the lamp and they began wiping it off. The first fellow began wiping the lamp off, and out pops a genie. The genie looked at the man that wiped it off and said, I'll grant you one wish. The first man rubbed the lamp and he whispered, he said, I wish I were 10 times smarter. And the genie said, Kazam, you're now 10 times smarter. The next fellow took the lamp and he began to rub it, and the genie popped out, and the genie said, I'll grant you one wish. The man said, I want to be 100 times smarter. And the genie said, Shazam, you are now 100 times smarter. The third man rubbed the lamp and he said, well, I want to be 1,000 times smarter. The genie said, Shazam, you are now a woman. Oh, come on, ladies, y'all ought to help me right through there. Because the records show that, amen, most of the folk who have high intelligence these days, and this is no knock against men, y'all know, amen, that I believe men ought to be out front and men ought to be the leaders and we ought to be the head and all of that, but brothers, we got to give our women some credit that they got a whole lot of sense. They come on, we're the brothers who have to testify that I wouldn't be where I am in life if it hadn't been for a wife or a mama or somebody, amen, to help me to get to where I am. Give him praise in this place. Let's get rid of the I am onlys. I am only the child of a single parent. I am only, you just got it, didn't you, Minister Phillips? See? Amen. I am only a person with a handicapped condition. I am only an African American. You and I can be anything God calls us to be. And God is calling every one of us, just as he called Jeremiah. God came to Jeremiah and said to him, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. But Lord, Jeremiah said, I don't know how to speak. I am only a youth. See what God does next. He says to Jeremiah, do not say I am only a youth. You've got to go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you. Is there anybody who knows that the safest place to be, the best place to be, is in the will of God? And I know I've got some witnesses here who, like me, along life's way, there have been those times that I depended on my own intellect. I depended on my own intelligence. I depended on what folk call common sense. But when I learned how to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in me, stop doing what I wants me to do. I figured out that the best place to be is in the will of God. Give him praise in this place. Tell him thank you if you know you're in his will. Can I tell you something? When you're in his will, you're not by yourself. When you're in his will, he will be there with you. When you're in his will, folk can lie on you and talk about you, plot against you, make plans on your life. But if you're in the will of God, you're on the Lord's side. And is there anybody who knows that if God is for you, he's more than the world against you? Give him praise in this place. God says, do not say, I am only a youth. I've got some stuff for you to do. I need you to have some faith in me. Amen. The Lord reaches out his hand and he touches Jeremiah's mouth and says to him, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Y'all, God had great plans for Jeremiah, but first of all, he had to get those three deadly words out of his mouth. And I got 3 points real quick, and I'm done. Number one, be careful what you say. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I remember that song as a kid. Amen. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth. What, ain't that right? What you say? For the Father up above is looking down and look. So be careful. The Bible says that the powers of life and death are in your mouth. That's why I tell parents, be careful what you speak over your children. Don't you ever open your mouth to say you'll never be anything. Don't you ever open your mouth and tell your daughter she's ugly or tell your son, amen, that he's insufficient. Amen. You have the power of life and death in your mouth, and we've got to start speaking life into our children. We've got to start telling them that, yes, there's a doctor in you. There's a lawyer in you. And what those two stories at the onset of this message ought to tell us is that sometimes it's the bad stuff that we go through that helps to determine what we will become. Don't ever apologize because you grew up poor. Don't you dare apologize because, amen, your mama didn't have this or your father didn't have that or you didn't have a mama or you didn't. There are no excuses to be made because God can take our disadvantages and help us to become somebody. Somebody ought to thank him. Somebody ought to give him praise. Somebody ought to not be so mean and so prideful that you're not able to look back over your life and realize that you didn't make it by yourself, but it was God who was working it out. It was God that was fixing it. It was God. Come on, give him praise in this place. Be careful what you proclaim. Amen. And I heard somebody say that, you know, normally we talk about what we speak over other folk. But somebody said the closest ears to your mouth, well, most of the time, amen, is your own ears. And so you ought to get in the mirror sometimes and do like Michael Jackson. Look at the man in the mirror. Look at the woman in the mirror and start speaking life into your own life. Start speaking what God has to say. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm the lender and not the borrower. Amen. And if that don't do, pick up what Jesse used to say. I am somebody. I am somebody. I may be black, but I am somebody. I may be poor, but I am somebody. I may not have every degree, but I am somebody. If you know you're somebody because you belong to God, give him praise in this place. So number one, be careful what you proclaim. But then secondly, be comforted by your protector. Oh my, I wish I could stand up here as your pastor and tell you that once you get saved and once you give your life to Jesus, every day is going to be sunshiny and bright. You're not going to, everybody's going to like you. Folk are, amen, are going to pat you on the back. And I wish I could stand up here and tell you that, but that would be a lie. Amen. Amen. What are my folk who understand that when you give your life to the Lord, amen, a lot of folk you thought were your friends, you really figure out that some of them folk weren't your friends. They were just comfortable with you because you were doing what they were doing. But when you decided to give up, amen, whatever you were doing that they were doing, they didn't have time for you anymore. They didn't knock at your door anymore. But you ought to be comforted by your protector. Amen. Everybody, I heard Louis Farrakhan say on a TikTok or YouTube or something, he said that everybody can leave me. He said all of y'all can leave me. But as long as I have God on my side, as long as I have my protector, I heard my good friend Vicky Winans say, as long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. You ought to thank God that you've got a protector this morning. You ought to thank God that he sits high, he looks low, and he is making a way for you. There's a story of this little girl in this art class, and the teacher had given all of the students this clay, but it was the kind of clay that doesn't harden, it doesn't get hard. And the teacher told everybody to take your lump of clay and make something out of it. And this little girl, she took her clay and she formed it into the shape of an angel. And when the teacher saw it, the teacher was so impressed. The teacher showed the whole class this angel that this little girl had made. And they all started clapping. They stood up and they started clapping because the angel was so beautiful. And while they were clapping, the little girl grabbed the piece of clay that was an angel and she took it in her hand and balled it up. And everybody got quiet and everybody was distressed. They said, why would you destroy the beautiful angel? And the little girl said, I didn't destroy the angel. She said, the angel is just hidden inside. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, my brothers and sisters, but I'm so glad that I've got angels that are watching over me. And I need to tell you this morning, you don't see them. You don't see them up here. You don't see them around me. But I've come by to tell somebody that I've got angels watching over me. I've got ministry angels. Sometimes I don't even feel like preaching, and I need a word from God. And God will send a ministering angel that will give me joy, that will give me peace, so that I can stand up here and give a word to you. Is there anybody here today who can testify, I too have hidden angels? They are watching over me. They are protecting me. They are keeping me. They're making ways for me. That's why I thank him. That's why I praise him, because I have a protector in God. But then the final point. Number one, be careful what you proclaim. Number two, be comforted by your protector. But then finally, be confident that you have a purpose. Let me just tell everybody in the room, if God woke you up this morning, you've got a purpose. I said, if he woke you up this morning, you've got a purpose. Why are you telling us that? I'm telling that because life has a way sometimes of making you feel like you just don't matter. Amen. Amen. People, sometimes loved ones, sometimes people in your house, sometimes friends, amen, will try and make you feel like you are insignificant. You have no importance. You don't matter. But I have come by this Sunday morning to tell everybody in this room that the fact that God woke you up this morning tells me that you have a purpose. Now, if you want to know what your purpose is, guess what? You need to get in the Word. You need to ask God, God, what would you have me to do? Amen, amen. And I am so glad, amen, that I'm confident of this reality, that I have a purpose. I have a purpose. God told Jeremiah, while you're being down on yourself, you don't even realize that I have set it up so that you're going to talk